Am I enough? This is the question that we all ask in one way or form or another. And ultimately, it really is the question that God is asking. Is he enough? And the world would have us to try to fit into its various molds and shapes so that we would be able to be whatever it is the world says we ought to be. But God has repurposed us. God has a plan for us. God is already doing something new in the midst of our lives. And it is for his purpose that we are here. It is for his purpose that we live and that we're doing all that we do. It's because God really is enough. God is enough. And it's such a blessing to be able to know the power of God in our lives, the presence of God in our lives, so that no matter what it is that we have to face, we don't face it alone. The Lord is with us. God is our source of life, health, and strength. He has called us to trust him, to look to him. He is the very source of everything that we need. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, he will respond to us. He will make a way for us. And isn't that awesome that we can trust in God this way? Isn't it awesome that he cares for us? He loves us to this degree that we would be able to see his faithfulness. This is what God is doing in our lives. He is molding us and shaping us. And so we're talking about being repurposed this month as we start this new series for this month. And we are redirecting our passion, being able to assess the various elements and aspects of our life that we have, that have taken root within us, and we're tweaking things, we're making adjustments and changes so that we can redirect our passions to be in alignment with the Word of God, that our purpose may not be our own, but the purposes of God. And that's who God has called us to be. That's what he is doing in the midst of us. And that is why we can rejoice. That is why we can be glad. That is why we can have comfort in knowing that no matter what we face in this world, God is able to see us through. And he will make a way for us as his people. And so I'm excited about the very fact that no matter what happens in the world, God will sustain me through it. God will enable me to overcome. And you can have that same comfort as well. You can know this as well and have faith and trust in God. As we look here in Genesis chapter 35, verse 10, it tells us, God said to him, to Jacob, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." Thus he called him Israel. And so God changes the name of Jacob. He changes Jacob's name because Jacob was a swindler, and Jacob was a person who was a manipulator, and he did all kinds of evil things that were contrary to the ways of God. And so God intervened in his life and molded him and shaped him and allowed his life experiences to rise to the surface so that they can be purified. And that's what God does for us. He brings us through the challenges and difficulties so that our life experiences are there to refine us so that we can deal with the things that come to the surface in our life so that we can become more of the people God has called us to be. And so I would like to use as a theme today, hold on for the blessing. Hold on for the blessing. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would help us to be able to trust you, to look to you, no matter what difficulties we face, no matter what the challenges have been that we have had to deal with over the history and the course of our lives. But Lord, we trust you today. We look to you today. We ask you, God, to allow us, Lord, the opportunity to be able to recognize those things in our past that need to change, that we might be the people you've called us to be. Mold us and shape us. Help us to overcome every obstacle in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we are living in a world full of obstacles. I mean, there is all kinds of things going on all around us. The world is changing. In fact, as the Word of God says, the world is becoming more and more evil every day. In fact, evil really is intensifying in the world. And the Word of God says that this is the way it will be until He returns. And we know that as the people of God, we are sustained in the world through the hand of God. God sustains us. God blesses us. He molds us. He shapes us. He is the one who provides for us. He makes a way for us. And as evil increases, as sin abounds more and more in the world, the Word of God says grace does even more abound. And so the grace of God is being poured out upon the people of God. Even as sin increases, the world will have even greater access to the grace of God. In fact, the Word of God says that when there is darkness, and the light is to shine in the darkness. And the reason light shines in darkness is to dispel it. Light dispels darkness. When the light comes on, it drives away the darkness. It causes the darkness to be overtaken by the light. Darkness is a lack of the frequencies that are necessary to bring light. But when the frequencies of light come into the spectrum, darkness is done away with. It is dispelled. And so God is trying to dispel the darkness from our lives. He wants to liberate us from the very things that would hinder us or keep us from trusting in Him, from having a relationship with Him, to keep us from experiencing Him, and from allowing the benefits of a relationship with God to come to life within us. And we see this in the story of Jacob. In Genesis 32, verse 22, it says, "Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream. And he sent across whatever he had." And so here is Jacob, and he's had a hard life. And he's had a very challenging and difficult life up until this point, because, as you know, he had to wrestle with his brother in the womb, and he was comes out holding on to his heel as the second born. And as a result, he then found himself tricking his brother out of his birthright. And even though he was second born, he took the benefits of the firstborn and redeemed them for himself. And as a result, his brother was angry, and they got into a little family the scuffle, and they found themselves at odds with each other. So he's driven out of his house, and he goes to live with his uncle Laban. And while he's there, he has more trouble, because his uncle Laban then causes the blessing of God that was to be on him. He now robs him of the blessings of God. Jacob, because God was doing something in his life, began to be blessed. And every time he would do anything, whatever he put his hands to, God would bless it. And as a result, his uncle Laban became jealous. And so they made a deal, and Laban breaks the deal over and over again. He falls in love with Laban's daughter, and he wants to marry the daughter, and then he tricks him and gives him the second or the oldest daughter instead of the daughter he really wanted. And you all know the story of how it was very complicated. And this guy had a complicated life, and life was constantly dealing Jacob a bad hand. And as a result, he was always striving to be ahead, to be first, to get into the place of blessing. And maybe your life has been challenging. Maybe you have been born into a family where you have struggles, and there's relationship issues and challenges and difficulties that you're facing. Maybe you've grown up at a disadvantage, and maybe you've had hardships and all kinds of challenges that have caused you to constantly have to fight just to make it, just to get ahead, just to survive. Jacob was a man who struggled, and it seemed like he was always facing opposition. And sometimes life is this way. Sometimes there's always opposition to be faced. The fact is, we live in a sin-cursed world. And the reason evil is so prevalent in the world is because Adam and Eve in the garden sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, they found themselves in partnership with Satan. And it was because they obeyed the word of Satan instead of the word of God that the world ended up in a cursed or fallen state. And as a result, the world, even to this day, is a fallen world. It is operating under the curse of sin. And because Adam chose Satan as his master over God, and you say, well, how did that happen? Well, that happens because there is a divine principle that says, whosoever word you believe and you put your trust in, that becomes your master. That entity, that person, that thing becomes your master. You're the one who you follow. He becomes the God of your life. And that comes down to the principle of whoever you believe, whoever's words you take to heart and apply in your life, those people or that person becomes the person who has authority and power over your life, because whatever they say, you will then do. And this is the way the world works even today. People are even still watching all types of programs on TV and YouTube and Instagram and all kinds of things. We watch and we're taking all of these things in, and these things have authority and power in our life. Changes the way we think and see and perceive things. And this is why the word of God says, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is just, of a good report, meditate on these things. Put your mind, set your mind on things above, the things of God, the things that are related to the Lord, so that God's power and authority can be relegated to your life. Because whoever's words you believe or you meditate on or receive into your heart, those are the words of the entity or the power that will have control and authority in your life. And so to the extent that we abide in God's word and meditate in it day and night, that's the extent that we will experience God's transforming power in our lives. And so this principle is at work, as we see here in Genesis 32 in verse 23. And so he sends all that he has ahead of him. He sends it all to meet his brother as he is going through, as he is running from Laban. As he is leaving Laban, he is in pursuit of reconciliation for his brother or with his brother. And you and I will go through challenges and difficulties in our life. We will go through all types of opposition when you're trying to do what is right before God. Have you ever noticed whenever you decide to do what God would have you to do, something always comes up? There's always something that happens. Somebody calls you and nobody else can help them but you. Only you can do it. Or they get you caught up in conversations or situations that consume your time, so you can't do what you wanted to do. You can't go where you wanted to go and say what you wanted to say. There's always something that would get in the way. This is the warfare that we face. This is why Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are at work in the kingdom of this world to accomplish the will of God. And as a result, we must learn how to depend on God. The world is depending on the resources and all of the possessions that we have in this world. He who dies with the most toys wins is the mentality of this world. But God says that we are not to live our lives in this manner. We are not to be caught up in acquiring the amount of possessions and things that we can acquire in this world. We are to release everything to God. And so Jacob released everything he had, and he sent it ahead of him. And once he released it to God, he sent it forth ahead of him, now God is able to deal with him. Once you let go of the things of this world, now God can do something in your life. Now God can do a miracle in your life. And so Jacob was left alone in verse 24. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. The man was an angel of the Lord. And we know that he wrestled with him all night long. And sometimes we go through challenges and difficulties in our life. Sometimes we have hardships and we have different problems and things happen. And we have opposition of all types. And it's so easy to say, it's the devil. The devil is working against me. Why? Because it's what you really want to do. It's what we want to see happen. It's what we want to accomplish. And anything that gets in the way, it must be the devil. But it's not always the devil. Sometimes, probably most of the time, it's God trying to get our attention. It's probably God trying to get us to learn how to trust in him, to know that it's not in the amount of or the total of the possessions that we can acquire in this world or the success that we can have in this world that will enable us to have success or have comfort or to be able to feel good about who we are. But it is in the power of God. It is in Christ alone that we have hope and that we are able to have confidence in who we are. This is what Jacob was struggling with, his identity crisis. And God is an identity changer. God is an identity changer. And so Jacob, when he was left alone, he was able to wrestle with this man until daybreak, all night long. How long are you willing to wrestle with God? Have you ever wrestled with God before? Have you ever had to face yourself? Have you ever had to look in the mirror and come before God and say, God, I need you to do something in my life. I need you to change my heart, renew my mind, to help me, God, to live in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Help me, Lord. Use me, God, for your own glory. Make me the person you need me to be, that I need to be. Oh, we all ought to spend time wrestling with God. In verse 25, it says, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So that socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. And so the angel of the Lord touches Jacob's thigh and causes it to become dislocated. It comes out of joint. And I'm sure that was a painful experience. Have you ever had joint pain before? Have you ever suffered before? Have you ever had a dislocated something, a shoulder or arm or knee or some form of your body? Have you ever had a broken bone or a pain in your body? I tell you, it's hard to wrestle when you have pain, isn't it? It's hard to hold on when you're in pain. It's hard to be able to fight for what is right and what is good when you're in pain. And here is Jacob, despite his hip being out of joint, he's holding on to the angel of God. Saints of God, you and I must learn how to hold on to the angel of the Lord. Hold on to the word of the Lord. Hold on to the truth of God, to the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Hold on to God. Hold on, because God is going to bless you. There's a blessing that comes to those who wait upon the Lord. They will renew their strength like wings on an eagle. You will be able to run. You will be able to endure. You will not faint. You will be able to overcome obstacles, challenges, difficulties. You'll be able to navigate through this world with all of its evil, all of the opposition, all of the difficulties, all of the hardships. The hand of God will be with you. God will enable you. He will cause all things to work together for your good when you're called according to his purpose. This is what Jacob is experiencing. God is transforming him because his future is greater than his past. And you and I are also people whose future is greater than our past. It's not about where you came from, it's about where you're going. It's not about who you are, it's about who you are becoming. God is at work in your life. God is molding and shaping your life. He is enabling you. He's strengthening you. He's using your situations and circumstances to teach you how faithful God really is. God wants you to understand that even in pain, you can hold on. You can trust in God. He will make a way even when it seems impossible. Verse 26 says, then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Oh, saints of God, when you're in trouble, when you're wrestling with situations and circumstances, when you're wrestling with the various aspects and elements of your daily life, no matter what it is, you can hold on and say, God, bless me. Bless me, Lord. I call upon the name of the Lord that the hand of God may redeem me, may help me, may strengthen me, may enable me so that God can make a way even when it seems impossible. Oh, saints of God, if you just hold on long enough, the blessing of God will come to you. But you must hold on to the Lord. You must hold on to the angel of the Lord. He represents the word of God. He represents that which God has spoken and declared. He represents the very principles of God's word as they are ignited or come to life in the midst of our life. He is holding on to the prophetic word that was spoken over him when his father had died. The blessing of the Lord was on him. And saints of God, it is on you. Hallelujah. It is on you and it is on me. And that is why we can endure all the things that we have endured. That is why we are able to have victory in our lives. That is why we have joy when other people are miserable. That is why we have peace when other people are having anxiety. That is why we have love when the world is filled with hate. And that is why we are able to rejoice and continue to rejoice no matter what the situation is. God is in the midst of us, and we are grateful and we are thankful to God. And because of our ability to hold on to the word of God, the message of God's word that has been submitted or transmitted and presented to us, because we have meditated on his word day and night, because it is hidden in our hearts, we are able to walk in harmony with God. We can have the joy of the Lord and it becomes strength to us. And this is exactly what Jacob was experiencing. It says, he said, let me go. And Jacob said, no way, man. Not until you bless me. Not until you bless me. And I pray that you can recognize when there's a blessing being made available to you. When there's a blessing. Oh, just because you're wrestling with something doesn't mean that there's evil at work. It means there's a blessed opportunity that is awaiting you. All you need to do is say, God, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust you until you bring it to pass, until you bless me, until you cause all things to work together for my good according to your own purposes. I will continue to hold on. God wants us to learn how to hold on until the blessing comes. There is a blessing at the end of the wrestling. And when you hold on, you will reap that which you have sown. You have sown faithfulness, trust. You have sown the righteousness of God. And therefore, the blessing of God will be awaiting you on the other side of your holding on. The wrestling will lead to the blessing. And so he says in verse 27, he says to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob was his name. And that means the one who is a swindler. He is one who is a manipulator, as we know. And all of these things were representative of who he was. And he said, Jacob, because name constitutes or connotates identity. Name connotates identity. And whenever you call a name, all that that name represents responds when it is called. All that that name represents comes when it is called. What is your name? What is the name that you are called? What name is called that will cause you to obey its word? I ask that you would trust in the Lord today. I pray that you will respond to the name of the Lord. I pray that the name of Jesus has taken up residence in your heart. That when the name of the Lord is lifted up, when the name of the Lord is praised, it compels you. It will lift you up. It will draw you into the presence of God. It is name that constitutes identity. That is why Jesus is known as the Savior. It is why he is the Redeemer. He is the one who has liberated and set the captives free, because his name connotates identity. And so verse 28 says that your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Oh, this is the equation that leads to godly blessing and success in your life. When you're able to endure, when you're able to wrestle through the challenges and the difficulties of life, whether you go through it with men and you interact with men in the challenges and situations of this life, you go through with the strength of God. You hold on to God, trusting in God, looking to him as he molds us and shapes us, as he uses all of the various elements and aspects of life to bring change into our life, to help us to see and know and understand various things. As we trust in him, we strive with God, and God enables us to prevail. Oh, saints of God, don't go through life alone. Don't go through life according to your own mind's ability to figure things out, but trust in the Lord. Send everything ahead of you. Release it before God. Let everything go. All those possessions, all the things that you have, don't allow them to be a hindrance in your life. Release them to God. Say, Lord, I lay them at your feet. Use them as you will, God. I ask, God, that you would direct me in how to handle and manage all that you have blessed me with. God, help me to overcome the bondage of the blessing's power to bind, and help me to release everything to you, to send it off in a way that you would be honored and glorified. This is what Jacob was able to do, and he got alone with God. You must be able to get alone with God, free from the mentality of the world's goods and ways and principles, and adapt the principles of God and his word. And so God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And you know that Israel is the blessed name. And even in the word of God, whenever Israel did right before the Lord, he interacted with them and spoke to them as Israel. But when they did evil and when they rebelled against the Lord and did things according to the ways of the cultures of the people around them, he referred to them as the sons of Jacob. And so we see, even in the Word of God, God is adapting the ways of man to their name and their identity. And when you and I walk in the ways of the Lord, he calls us child of God. He calls us son of the living God. He calls us those who are bearing the name of Jesus. He calls us the redeemed of the Lord. He calls us the blessed ones of God. But when we do evil, or when we walk in ways that are contrary to God, we are the sons of disobedience. We are called those who are in rebellion against God. We are known as the backslider. But when you walk in the ways of God, he gives us the name that is adapted and tied to the name of Jesus. And so it is so important to walk according to the ways of the Word of God, according to the ways of God, so that the blessing of God may go before us or even overtake us, and so that we might experience the provision and the blessing of God even in the midst of evil being all around. We are all in the process of being transformed. I'm sure you're familiar with the Transformers, with this whole idea of mechanical machines being changed into various types of vehicles, airplanes and trucks and cars and random stuff. God is transforming your life and mine from that of a fallen man to the redeemed of the Lord. We are being transformed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And it is the Word and the Spirit working together that brings about the change according to the plan of God. God has a plan. He has a schematic for our lives. There is a schematic that we all must follow, and it is the Word of God. The Word of God is a schematic. But a schematic is no good if you don't have all of the components in order to build the device you're trying to build. And that is why God gives us all the resources we need to live godly in Christ Jesus, as the Word of God says. He is the one who brings the resources into our life. He is the one who brings what we would call blessings. Those are resources of God. God blesses us so that we can have what we need in order to accomplish the plan of God, the will of God, so that we can do what God has called us to do. And God hasn't called us to operate alone, but he's called us to operate together. Each of us represent a part of God's plan, God's schematic. You and I are part of the body of Christ. Each of us plays a part, plays a role in what God is trying to do in the world. And together, we work together. We are jointly fitted, the Word of God says, together, so that we would be able to be effective at working the power of God into the world. God wants to transform the world. He wants to change the world. And he does it one person at a time. And God enables us to have encounters and experiences with each other and then with other people, so that they too might know the power of God in their lives, that they may experience God, that they may know him in the pardon of their sins and in the power of the resurrection. This is what God is doing in our lives. The Word of God is working out the schematic. But unless you put all the pieces together so that you can have a device that has the power to transform the power of God into our useful bodies to be able to be effective at doing what the Word of the Lord says, then you and I will be able to be the representatives that God has called us to be. But we must be able to put all the pieces together so that we can have a working transformer. This is a transformer that I'm sure you have seen before. You probably have something like it in your pocket. And you might have the small ones, the little USB ones, or maybe you have some other type. We all use them to charge our phones because we have to convert 120 volts in the wall down to the 5 volts that our phone needs to charge. And that requires a transformer. That requires transforming the power. And you and I cannot take the power of God in our lives. We need a transformer. That transformer is Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our transforming agent. And the power of God is too strong. The word of God says, no man can see my face and live. The power of God is too much. We need a transformer. Maybe you need one like a laptop, and different devices need different degrees of transformation of the power. Maybe your laptop takes 18 volts and not 5 volts like a phone or some other small device. And you need one of these brick type transformers that would be able to transform your life from the power station. You can't take the full power coming from the generators off the power grid. You need one of these transformers so that you can buffer it down to go to your house so you can have 120 volts. So it can be transformed, so it can go the distance, so it can go the long haul for miles and miles and miles. And when you have God's power transforming in your life, you can go and go like the Energizer Bunny. You can continue to move, and you can continue to work, and you can continue to accomplish and endure. And no matter what comes your way, God enables you to duck and to step out of the way. And even when it hits you, you can dust it off and you can continue to go because you have the power of God to do so. God is able to endure you. He has enabled us to overcome so that we can accomplish great things. All you need to do is come to the cross. Oh, if you can come to the cross, Jesus will meet you there. He will meet you at the cross, and he will transform your life. He will empower you. He will strengthen you, and he will send you out in the power of the resurrection. And you will be able to accomplish the will of God. You will be able to see the manifestations of God, to see the hand of God. God will use you in awesome and amazing ways. You will be changed. God will transform your life. He will cause his power to be modulated down, buffered down, so that you can accomplish his will and his plans and his purposes in your life. In Hosea 12:3, it says, in the womb he took his brother by the heel, that is Jacob, and in his maturity he contended, or he wrestled with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. This is a picture of how God used Israel throughout its history. It started out with Jacob and all that he did, and then it tells us the story of the Israelites as they went through, as they wept, they suffered, and they called on God for favor. And God sent them help in their times of trouble. This process, this is according to God's schematic. When you go through life, God transforms you as an individual. And he builds you up, and he molds you and shapes you. He enables you to overcome so you can know him for yourself. You can come into a personal relationship with God, and God enables you to have strength and power from him. And he causes the fullness of God's power to be channeled down and transformed through a transformer according to God's word, his schematic. And as you apply the principles of God's word, as you apply according to the schematic, as you do what the word of God says, you will find God's power at the source of your life. You will be ignited in God. Isn't that awesome? You will be empowered by God. And the blessings of God will be flowing in your life because God will constantly provide what you need when you need it. He will continually open doors even when it seems impossible. He will open doors that no one can shut. He will enable you to overcome obstacles. He will enable you to make
your way through the challenges and difficulties of life that come your way. You'll be able to hop over those things that come underneath. You'll duck under the things that come from above. And no matter where they come, you will be able to hear and see and know, because the Spirit of the Lord will be with you. The blessing of God will be upon your life. You will see the faithfulness of God. Oh, saints of God, even the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his name. Oh, I pray that you know the name of the Lord today, that the name of the Lord is not just something in your head, but it's working. He's working within you. You are applying the word of God, applying the schematic of God. This is why Hosea 12:6 says, therefore return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. Wait on the Lord. Do you know what the word of God says about waiting, right? It says, they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like the wings of an eagle, and you'll be able to soar in the things of life, that God will be your source of sustenance and he will make a way for you. It says you will be able to walk and not get tired. You will run and you won't faint. You'll be able to continue on because the power of God is working in your life. Hallelujah. God will enable you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. All you got to do is stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. Stay tapped into the power source, and God through Christ will buffer his power into your life in ways that will enable you to overcome every obstacle that comes your way. Verse 8 of Hosea 12 says, and Ephraim said, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they will find in me no iniquity, which would be sin. Oh, if you can free yourself from iniquity, from sin, from the things that are a hindrance to God's flow of the blessing in your life, if you can allow your life to be aligned according to the schematic of God so that everything is in its rightful place and that you're walking in the ways of God, you will see the blessing of God in your life. You will become enriched by God. God wants to enrich his people. God wants to establish you so that you can have wealth. Wealth means that you lack for nothing, that you don't have to worry because you have what you need when you need it. That's what God provides for his people. He provides wealth for us. I trust that you are wealthy today. Oh, you may not have a whole lot of money. I'm not talking about having a whole lot of money, but I'm sure you have just what you need to do what you're doing right now. God is able to provide for you. You can trust him. He is putting food on your table. He's got a roof over your head. You have transportation, and you have what you need to manage your household and take care of your children. And you are able to even be a blessing to the house of God. You're able to help others who are in need in their times of troubles and difficulties because you're walking in the faithfulness of God. And God will continue to bring an increase. And every time there's a need, God will show up. And he will make a way, and he will prove himself again and again and again and again, so that you will be able to see, so your children will be able to see, and your children's children will begin to see. And you can show them, this is what God has done for me. This is why your story is so important in your life. You don't have to be ashamed of where you came from. Just be proud of where you're going. And when you are able to be able to connect the two, you will see the faithfulness of God in between. And your children will see it. And those who are around you will see it. And we can share. We can testify with one another. We can encourage each other. We can build each other up. And we will be able to see the faithfulness of God in this dark world. God will be able to shine in the midst of the darkness and dispel the darkness. Oh, this is where the joy of the Lord comes from. Oh, when you realize that the schematic of your life is really a demonstration of the faithfulness of the power of God at work with you. This is what God is doing. In 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul says, to Timothy, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." And so God knows who you are, saints of God. You don't have to worry, does the Lord know me? Yes, the Lord knows those who are his. All you have to do is abstain from going off the schematic. Make sure you stay according to the plan. Walk in the ways of the Lord, the way God has ordained it and designed life to work. Allow God's faithfulness to be proven in your life by following the schematical plan that God has laid out for you in his word. Allow God to manifest himself. Allow the power of God to work wonders in your life. You will see that he is faithful and he knows your name. Oh, the Lord, he knows your name and he is at work in the midst of you. In Acts 11:19, it says, regarding this story of Barnabas and Paul, it says, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And they were speaking the word of God to no one except the Jews alone." And so they would minister and share the testimony of the gospel of Christ only with Jews. But then in verse 20, it says, "There were some of them, they were men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch, and they began speaking to the Greeks also. And they were preaching the Lord Jesus." And saints of God, you and I have been called to share the testimony of the Lord. We have been called to preach Jesus, to share the word of God. You and I have been called to talk about what God has done in our lives. We must seize those opportunities when they come. And so this group of men who went to the Greeks, they went to the Gentiles, they shared the word of God. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them. I don't know about you, but I want the hand of the Lord to be with me. When the hand of the Lord is with you, you don't have to be afraid to talk about Jesus. You don't have to be fearful about sharing your story and your testimony. You just need the wisdom of God to know how to speak according to the schematical plan of God. Know when to say what you need to say. Know how much to say when you need to say it. That is why the schematical plan, it has capacitors, it has resistors, and it has all types of different components that will gauge the flow of the signal and of the power so that you don't have too much going at one time, or you don't have it going in the wrong direction. It has to go in a certain order in order to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. And the word of God will work in your life. He will buffer, he will manage, he will navigate in the ways of the Spirit of God through you so that you will know what to say, how much to say, and when to say it into people's lives. And you will be able to bring about change, transformation, and power in people's lives because you follow the schematic of God's word in your life. And so verse 21 says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Don't you want that as a testimony? Don't you want that to happen in your life? Don't you want to see people's lives changed? Oh, if we could just follow the plan of God, the schematic of God, and not allow too much to come out at the wrong time in the wrong way, God will buffer us. He will navigate us, and he will give us what to say when we are timed out to say it. God will speak to you. He will enable you. He will compel you. He will even allow those who are in need to ask questions. Don't you love it when people ask questions? Oh, that is a powerful testimony when people are able to ask you questions about the Lord, because they only ask you questions about the Lord if they believe you have the answer. And as long as they know that you have an answer or something to say, they will ask you questions. And this is why we must live in the ways of God. We must walk in the righteousness of God. It opens the door for the questions to be asked. It opens the door of people's hearts so that when we can speak as the oracles of God. We can speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We are tempered and we are throttled by the word of God, as the schematic of God and his spirit enables us, we are able to be effective impacting the people in our lives. And verse 22 says, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when they arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? He encourages them to remain true to the Lord. This is the key to seeing God's power working effectively in your life. You and I, we must remain true to the Lord. We must be doers of the word of God. We must apply biblical principles in our life. We must allow the word of God to be spoken, to come out, so that we can be used of God to impact people's lives. God is spirit. Spirit is frequency. God is light, and God has sounds of thunder and lightning that roll, and the sound of God, it's moving in the midst of the earth. That's what the word of God tells us. And that means that there is also this power of God that works in the midst of our life. We all know where there's great power, there's great sound. Have you ever heard a quiet thunder? Never. Oh, and the more powerful the thunder is, the more you know there's power behind it. And I tell you that there's power in the presence of God, in the spirit of God. God himself is all powerful. In fact, the word of God says all the power there is in God. Woo, did you ever think about that? All of the power that exists in the entire universe is in God. Woo, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. I tell you, that's a lot of power. Yeah, 120 volts, if you plug your phone in without the adapter just straight into the socket, it'll burn your phone to a crisp. That's only 120 volts. God has all power. You didn't even get to the power source where it comes from. Hallelujah. God has all power in his hands. And there is nothing that God can't handle or manage that's working in your life. No matter what it is that you're dealing with, that you're facing, God is able to see you through it. He is able to enable you to overcome it. That is what's so awesome about serving the Lord. All we need to do is remain true to the Lord. And if we're true to the Lord, God will buffer us. He will manage us. He will make our way through life so that we will be able to be the witnesses that he's called us to be. Verse 24 says, he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are a good person of God. I pray that you are a good man, a good woman of God. I pray that you are able to operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. You ought to be saying every day, every time it comes to mind, you ought to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, give me the power and the strength that I need. Oh, God, I need more of you. Work in me, manage me, mold me, shape me, ordain my steps. Help me to go and do and say all that I need to go and do and say. If you're not saying anything, then there's something wrong with your device. Have you ever plugged in your charger and it doesn't charge? You don't go, oh, well, I guess eventually it'll work. No, you don't do that, do you? No, you don't. You keep checking the wire. You're shaking the wire. You're looking at it. You're pulling it. You're trying to see, is it got a break in it, a crack in it? You're looking at everything plugged in. You check the outlet. Is that thing even working? You're trying everything you can. But you know that there's something that's supposed to happen when you plug in the charger. Well, I tell you, if you're plugged into Christ, something ought to be happening in your life. You ought not be quiet. You ought not be somebody just sitting there. You ought to be someone where the power of God is flowing in your life. It's causing you to be charged up. in God. It's causing you to feel like you want to say something. All of a sudden, the notifications start coming in and you start dinging and pinging because the Holy Spirit of God is stirring within you. All of a sudden, there's a notification. God says, say this to that person. God says, do this or go here or give that or take that or do whatever it is that you need to do. The Holy Spirit goes to work because you're fully charged and the Spirit of God is at work. Oh, I pray that your transformers are in good order today, that you are being buffered in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, that the anointing of God is moving and working in the midst of your life so that you can see people being impacted. I tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you should be impacting people. The younger you are, the more important it is, because that's your greatest opportunity to be used of God. You will have more interactions with more people when you're younger than you will when you're older, and you need to seize the opportunity. This is why the Word of God says to honor the Lord in your youth, to do the will of God in your youth, while you're young, while you're healthy, because when you get old, your joints start coming out. Hallelujah. All of a sudden you got aches and pains and it's hard to hold on to God. When wrestle with the angel, when you have aches and pains and joints and things are going wrong in your body. But while you're young and while you're strong, while you have a good mind, put your good mind to work. That's why the devil messes with young people's minds. He causes them to feel that they're not good, that they feel down on themselves. They don't understand how awesome they are. They don't understand how much power is available to them. They don't understand the anointing of God that's waiting and wanting to be used in their life. And they don't understand, and they look at themselves and they say, woe is me, oh, poor me, oh, I'm not anybody, oh, my family is this, or my father and my mother are that, or I have this issue and I got that problem. That's all a distraction that Satan raises up in people's lives to make them feel low about themselves. Know who you are. You have a new name, and it is the name of Jesus. God is able, and he is willing to do amazing things in your life if you trust in God. Oh, let God use you. Tap in, plug into the Spirit of God. Be a good man filled with the Holy Spirit of God and of faith. Let God use you so that you can impact considerable numbers of people. You could see people coming to the Lord, impacted by the Word of God, by the faithfulness of your walk with God, your testimony, your story. Tell everybody about what God has done in your life. Soon as you have a chance, like Double Dutch, you just wait. You wait for that opportunity, and then you just jump in and allow the Spirit of God to use you. Allow the Spirit of God to be able to use you to share that story, share that testimony. Don't let anything or anyone rob you of what God is doing in your life. Don't be ashamed of where you come from. Be proud of it, because that just means the testimony when you get where you're going will be that much greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God is doing great things in people's lives. And so verse 25 says he left for Tarsus and he went to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. In other words, they got a new name. No longer were they the Greeks and the Phoenicians and all these different people from different places. No longer was their identity tied to where they came from or who they were. Now their identity is Christ. Saints of God, when you come to Jesus, you get a new identity. You get a new name. Your name is now Christian. And as a Christian, you are able to represent the kingdom of God. Christian represents the very transformer that's at work so that the power of God can use you. Hallelujah. Oh, you are in a place of great and awesome potential because God is at work in your life. James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. There are a lot of people, they're deluding themselves. But God enables us to be able to apply the plan of God, the schematic of God. When you do it, when you apply all of the different parts, you put the capacitors and all the different resistors and all of the other elements and aspects that go into God's schematic into place, now you have a working transformer that will bring change in your life. Do you want change in your life? Become a doer of the word. Apply the principles of God's word in your life. And when you do what the word of God says, you will have powerful experience. You will impact lives of other people. God will be able to plug you in and charge up somebody. He will be able to plug you in and enable you to help someone to overcome or to become strengthened, empowered themselves. Why? Because you are a tool of the Spirit of God. You are an agent of the Spirit of God. And because the Word of God is at work in your life, you are blessed of God. Oh, let God use you. In Revelation 2:12, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword," which represents the Word of God. It says, "I know you dwell. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells." Maybe you live where Satan dwells. I tell you, Satan is dwelling around here. I tell you that's for sure. He's dwelling in the United States of America. He's dwelling in the North American continent. He's dwelling all around the world. He's got camps that he has set up. Oh, Satan is at work everywhere, saints of God. But you and I are able to hold fast. We're able to hold on, and we can wrestle because the angel of the Lord has been sent to us. He's been sent to us so that we can have the strength and the power and the resources we need to overcome. God will see us through. He will enable us. He says, "I have a few things against you because you have there some who are holding the teaching of Balaam." That's a demonic false god who was served, as you know, and who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things, sacrifice to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. And so you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. And therefore he says, "Repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth," or the word of God, the plan, the schematic. I'm going to enact a plan that will cause you to be at war with God. The last thing you want is to be at war with God, at opposition with God. But if you hold on and you're faithful to God, he will see you through. The blessing of God will overtake you. God knows that there are people that Satan sends into your life. He knows that there are people who are there to hinder us and to keep us from being effective and faithful to God. God knows about all these things. And he says, "It's okay, I know about those people. But all you have to do is hold on and trust in the Lord." There are always going to be people who tell you, "Oh, you shouldn't do this," or you go to church too much. "What are you doing? You guys are coronavirus. What are you doing in church?" Oh, there's all kinds of things that people will say. We're living in a day and age where the devil will rise up and speak to people. He will bring fear and anxiety, and he will not speak life and the enhancement of the plan of God, but he will do and say things that will cause you to break the chain, to find you in a place where you are disconnected from the power source of God. And you have to learn how to hold on and trust in God. You must learn how to be able to know that God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, but he has enabled you. And if you can hold on, you can trust in the Lord, you will be able to see the power of God work in your life. The blessing of God is on the other side of the wrestling. I tell you, in verse 17, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it." saints of God, there's a new name written in glory, and it's your name, and no one will know it but you. You will receive the stone. It will be a piece of the chief cornerstone, and you will take it, and you will see the name, and when you read the name, you will know it is your name. You will know it is you. God knows who you are. He knows your identity. He's got a personal thing going just for you. He has a name that only he knows. It's a pet name that the Lord has for you. You might be his little schnookums or a little puku pop. You might be a little somebody, but there's a name written on a stone, and it's yours. It's your name. You are his. Your beloved is his, and his beloved is mine. The word of God says, the Lord your God, he is with you. And he will make a way, even when it seems impossible. All you have to do is have an ear to hear, and all you have to do is be able to trust in God. Hold on, and you will see that he is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. That's why God said to Jacob, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. God wants to call you by your new name. He wants to give you a new identity. Name constitutes identity, and God has given you the power to hold on for the blessing. Trust in the name of the Lord and allow the glory of God to prevail in your life through the power of the resurrected cross of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Testimony.
You ought to think about it. Take some time and just sit down before the Lord and let God show you. Think about the day when you were a little baby, as far back as you can think. Maybe even ask some questions from people who might know and learn your own story. Learn where you've come from and what you were. And then think about all of the challenges and the difficulties you faced in life. Think about how God has brought you through, how God has been faithful, how he watched over you, how he guarded you and protected you, how God made a way even when it seemed impossible. God is repurposing you. He is enabling you as you redirect your passion, as you are being navigated through the schematics of God's word, and you're seeing the power of God worked out in your life so that you can be a witness and a testimony to all the people that God brings into your life. You don't have to tell everybody. You just need to tell the people that God brings your way. You just have to be willing to share. Be willing to testify. God will align and cause things to work out for you according to his plans, according to the will of God, the schematic of God. This is what God is doing in all of our lives. And so we can have faith in God. We can have confidence in him. And we can know that he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, because he is in the process of transforming us, repurposing us. He's redirecting our passions so that we can be the witnesses that he's called us to be, to impact the world. Share your story, saints of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, and he is at work in you. You are not alone, but you are a child of God. He loves you. He cares for you. He is working in you. He is enabling you, and everything that's happening is according to his design so that you might be the people that he has called you to be, the person, the man, the woman of God, who is operating in the power of Jesus' name, that you might be all that that he needs you to be. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would be glorified, lifted up, and exalted, and that you would enable us to be your witnesses as we go into this world. Sustain us and keep us from sickness and disease, from evil, and every work of the enemy that would be a distraction or a hindrance to the flow of God's power in our life. God, we ask that you would use us and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen.
This is my testimony.
Yes.
From dead to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Hallelujah. Here we go. I'm not dead. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe this is my testimony. From dead to life, cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.